Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the latest Blackhawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago. Mike Seib with the one and only Tracy Myers from NBCChicago.com. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hectic first couple weeks for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Now a couple days off here before they face St. Louis on Wednesday night in St. Louis, rivalry night on NBC Sports Network. Let's talk about the Schmaltz factor. He's been out now for, I think it's five games?
Yeah.
Five games with the upper body injury we suspect it was concussion.
Yeah,
and
that way.
He was doing great things on that Kane line with Hartman. And then since his departure, Anisimov was there for a little bit. We saw Tanner Carroll last game. What we've really seen is the production from Kane come down.
Yeah, and we were just talking about that with Kane earlier, and I said, you know, as much as this team overall is Miss Schmaltz, I'm sure you have too. And he said, you know, I've not been very good at the last couple of games. And you could say that in a couple of different areas. But, you know, we talk about looking at Schmaltz and Kane, and you think, well, they just played one game together. Well, they played a lot of the preseason together. They spent the end of summer working out together. So they've been working on this for a while. Yeah, game situation, just one. It was a hell of a game. But the chemistry has been building up for a while here now. So, you know, like Kane said, you know, you get used to playing with one guy for a little bit, like he was with Schmaltz, and then all of a sudden that was gone again. So it was kind of a start-over thing. And even Anisimov said that when they were together last week. He goes, even though we played together for 2 years, you spent a month or so apart, and it just didn't click the same. But, you know, I think Kane, you know, I'm sure he sent Schmaltz a get well soon card every day. It's certainly looking more positive that he's back. You know, it's one thing for them to say, hey, we're hoping he's ready, but he was on a line today.
Yeah.
That's usually the best indication of, okay, the kid's good to go, and I'm sure they'll just make sure with all the tests and everything, but looks like this is as optimistic as they have been in his return.
And the thing that Schmaltz brings to that line is speed, and that's something that we did not see with Anisimov when he was reunited with Patrick Kane. Now, the one line that has been the constant has been the Taves line, and Brandon Saad has the game-winning goal in all four victories so far. Early returns on his return to Chicago, A++++.
Oh, no doubt. And I, you know, I wrote this a couple weeks ago. I think it was after game two when he played Columbus. I know everybody loved Panarin. I got it. They needed Saad back. And if you need proof of that, the last couple of games are that. I mean, that line looks like a top line again. That was what was missing the last 2 years, is you've got three guys who all play off each other, all have a similar style. None are afraid to drive to the net. Yeah, Saad has been fantastic. What has there been, 5 feet between him and all of his goals to this point?
Right.
You needed that, and you needed that consistently on that top line. So he's made everybody better as far as I'm concerned. And I still chuckle when he told us out of camp that, oh, yeah, this might take a while to get up and ready on this first line. Yeah, it's taken less than 2 weeks. it was great right off the top out of camp. So you know, I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do.
And Taves' game has been there as well. You know, the big marching order this preseason was let's think more offense from the captain. The captain has been chiming in with that. And Richard Panik, I think, has played great. You know, he's not taking for granted that he's locked up that right wing spot on that line. He brings physicality. Oh, by the way, have you noticed going into the Nashville game, Hawks were third in the league in hits. So there's been some physicality that's been ratcheted up. But Richard Panik, I think, has been, you know, just consistency. That's what you're looking for, you know, in these 82 games. You want someone who's out there in a line that shows that they can carry the puck and can, you know, dominate a shift. And Panik so far has shown that you know, he belongs on that line.
Well, and, you know, when I talked to him back at Notre Dame, when we were talking about the new contract that he got off of that great year that he had last year, and I said, do you feel any pressure to, you know, much bigger raise? And you know, you set the bar with those numbers and everything. He goes, I can't go in like that, because then that'll just consume me. I'll be too worried about numbers. I'll be it the ones he has on the ice or the ones that he has earned off of it. And I'm not going to play the way I need to. And so far, it looks like he hasn't thought about that. He's just played the way that got him here and got him that first line job last year. So good for him. He's, you know, even if he does think about it, certainly doesn't look it out there. He's been very good.
PK Subban said after the loss to the Blackhawks on Saturday night, hey, we were the better team.
Yeah.
We dominated play. They won on the scoreboard, but we were the better team. I can't really argue with that.
No, I can't either. They were.
Yeah.
You know, Nashville was great off the start. The Blackhawks played great the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, 10 plus.
Right.
Last 10 minutes of the third period and then overtime. But no, before that, it was all Nashville. No argument here.
And that was a theme all week. You know, like Toronto and Montreal, those games, you know, they came out on the winning side on one of them, lost in overtime in the other. And then Thursday night on the west side, we played...
It was Minnesota.
Minnesota,
that was just,
and that was the stinker, 5-1. Five,
yeah.
Controversial goal. But, you know, throughout most of those four games, It was the opposition that carried play. And one thing we talked about was, let's not fall into the trap that we saw last year where you get outplayed and the only reason why you're staying in the game is because of Corey Crawford, and lo and behold, that's kind of the formula we've had.
Et voila, yes. Crawford up in Montreal is just Crawford in Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's just what he does up there. You know, you've got a couple situations with the Blackhawks right now, still working out what they're doing with the defense. You've got the power play that is not doing anything right now, and considering how many more penalties are being called, you know, the fact that that's as inadequate as it has been is not good. Nick Schmaltz, you've missed him. Clearly, that's been an issue. So, yeah, they're doing exactly what they did last year. Corey, help us out here. Now, he has been. But, you know, and I expect the ebbs and flows and everything, but, boy, he's had a lot. 34.8 shots a game through five games. A lot of
high quality.
You
did that St. Bonaventure math, so that I didn't have to do it, so I appreciate you doing that. That's a lot of shots.
Basic math, yeah. I'm good at basic. But it's a lot of shots. How many we've seen, you know, odd man rushes. We've seen some breakaways.
While the Hawks have the power play going.
Yeah,
That's a recipe for disaster.
That's not good. So there have been a couple of things that we've seen where it's like, okay, it's not just the shots, it's the quality of them, and both numbers definitely have to come down.
Yeah, and so speaking to the high-quality shots, Chris Hine tweeted this out earlier on Monday, that Corey Crawford has a save percentage from the high-danger shots of 93.3. That's the best in the NHL, in case you were wondering. The degree of difficulty, the quality of these shots are A+, and Corey is stopping 93% of them. Again, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have that, but that's not something you want to rely on every night.
No, and everything is an ebb and flow in an 82-game season. Every player has its ups and downs, you know, be it the guy who's on a scoring streak, and then that goes away for a couple of games. This happens with goalies, too. You know, now last year it ended up Crawford was going along just fine until the appendectomy. Be it sometimes you have an injury or sometimes you just have a bad run of games. It's going to happen. So the time is going to have to come where the Blackhawks are going to have to help him out as much as he's helping them at this point. But, it's just I really like to see those numbers come down, especially now that Schmaltz is back in the lineup. If that goes back to what it was, you know, give him a couple more goals to play with and not so much pressure.
So it's rivalry night in St. Louis on Wednesday night. St. Louis, surprising, with all the injuries they've had in six games, they have registered 8 points. That's good for third in the Central. Colorado, I guess we'd say a surprise, too. They've got 8 points as well, and the Hawks are in first. So just your thoughts on what St. Louis has done. And we had the question the other night on the pregame show, who right now is the Hawks' true rivalry?
Yeah.
And the consensus with Jamal Mayers and myself was, it is Nashville, because, well, they got to the Western Conference Finals last year. They got to the Stanley Cup Final. And they've had three meetings in the Stanley Cup playoffs over the, you know, since 2010. Mm-hmm. So there's that history. Do you see Nashville as the true rival, or do you lean towards St. Louis?
I think it's more Nashville just because of what transpired last year. And, you know, you're curious to see how Nashville rebounds from that. You know, the team that goes to the final that doesn't win usually has a tougher rebound season the following year. So I'll be curious about that. You know, I've caught St. Louis in little glimpses here and there. You know, like you said, they've got a lot of injuries, but they're finding ways. You know, and keeping, I know their game was close the other night against Tampa that they lost it, but, you know, they're finding ways to get points right now, which is what you have to do, you know, when you've got a couple guys that you're missing and stuff. And, but as far as Nashville, this is going to be, I think they've kind of jumped St. Louis in terms of, you know, kind of that head to head. There'll always be some, there'll always be plenty of angst with the Blues, but look at how much the Blues lineup has changed.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years. No more David Backes, who was a thorn in their side for a long time. Steve Ott is gone. Shattenkirk gone. Ryan Reeves is gone now. He's with Pittsburgh. So a lot of those enemies or you know, foes of them, I guess that's a better word, are gone. And I think the makeup of that team has changed. And so, you know, with that dynamic being different, I think that the rivalry is different too.
We'll see Edmonton on the west side on Thursday, which means, of course, we'll see Connor McDavid. Everybody looking forward to that. But I'm going to talk to you about another Connor Murphy.
Yeah.
We thought, you know, that defense was the biggest question mark heading into the season.
Yeah.
You know, with the loss of Hjalmarsson and TVR, and you could say Oduya or what have you. But, you know, how would this new group with Ruta and Franzen and, you know, Connor Murphy – how would these newcomers fit in with guys that are still, you know, getting their Blackhawk legs underneath them, mm-hmm. Forsling and Kempney? So of the new defensemen, mm-hmm. Who have you been impressed with? Who surprised you?
Ruta's really been impressive from the start of camp. Part of it is he's a good player. You can see that. I think the other part of it is his attitude. You know, a lot of the things that guys, when they come across a pond, are thinking about, you know, different size ice and different, you know, just getting used to North America in general, getting used to the city like Chicago in general, all that stuff. He is so laid back about everything. He is just kind of this very positive guy at all times. And he's never taken anything new on this side of the pond is something daunting. He just goes out and plays hockey. So he's been really good. I think he and Forsling have made a good pair. He needed to make a jump. He needed to be better out of camp like he was last year where, you know, he couldn't plateau again. But those two, I think, have really impressed me more than anybody else.
Yeah. To get Cody Franzen in the lineup, somebody has to sit.
Yeah.
You can look around, and it's not going to be Keith or Seabrook. You know, Kempney and Forsling are in their second season and under Joel's system. So it has fallen to, you know, Connor Murphy, who was obviously in the Nick Hjalmarsson deal.
Yeah.
Look, he was never a healthy scratch in Arizona. So this is new to him.
Sure.
What have you got in the sense of accepting this role that you may not be playing every night and that, you know, you go out on the ice going, you know, if I make a mistake, will that be the deciding factor that, you know, I'm definitely out the next game?
He says all the right things, you know, because he's hockey pedigree, his dad played and everything. So he gets that. Couple things. I'll try not to go off in too many tangents here. It's very easy when everybody says, oh, well, we traded this guy for Hjalmarsson. He's not going to be the same guy. Okay. There was minimal salary cap savings. I think that was more for 2 years down the line when Hjalmarsson would have been up, and now you've got, but you've still got a 24-year-old guy who's very young, who's still very young, still has a lot to learn, and it's going to be a bit of a process. I talked to Dave Tippett a couple weeks ago about Connor Murphy. Tippett coached Murphy out in Arizona, and he said, look, we had to put this guy in a lot of situations that probably weren't fair. Part of that was because, you know, he was a young kid trying to learn. The other part of it was what depth did Arizona have?
None.
On defense? I mean, the Blackhawks' depth on defense is not exceptional. It's a lot better than Arizona's.
Right.
So would he have been scratched if he had played for a deeper team? You never know. He didn't. You know, Mark Lazarus brought up today, you know, if Q, would he ever consider putting Seabrook in that rotation of sitting him? I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. I understand the question. I think it's a legitimate question, especially because Seabrook has not been the same the last year or so. But given team loyalty, I guess that's the best way of putting it, I'd be more surprised if that happened. So it's, you just hope Murphy takes it for what it is. You know, would you like to see him in there more? Is he going to make mistakes? Of course, he's a kid. But at the same time, how do you take Ruta out? Because he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's been, you know, providing some offense too.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Cody Franzen in his limited time has also helped out in the scoring department as well. That great shot pass and his Blackhawks debut. I want to bounce quickly back up to the forward lines.
Sure.
Alex DeBrincat, you know, gets his first NHL goal in Montreal last week. Man, like, you and I knew we were going to see him this year.
Yeah.
We didn't expect to see him game one. He continues to show that absolutely he belongs in the NHL. I'm really impressed with his responsibilities at both ends of the ice.
Well, he's very comfortable. He's
which
very
is not an easy thing for a lot of these young guys, as we saw last year, you know?
No, and I can't remember if we've talked or if I've mentioned this before, but I was talking to Patrick Sharp about him, and Sharp said that he is still playing like he's in the OHL, and that was a compliment, meaning he's treating the game the same way here as he did there. And so when you've got it in your head where, okay, I'm not making this sizable jump and it's not that daunting, again, mindset is a tremendous thing. You mix that with the talent, and that's probably a big reason why he's here right now and doing as well as he has. But, you know, goals or no goals, he looks very comfortable out there. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's stage fright with anything.
And Patrick Sharp chimed in the other night with a tally. The fourth line, Lance Boma, Tommy Wingles, John Hayden. They brought some physicality.
Yeah.
Hayden has, you know, I think he leads the team in hits.
Yeah.
He got in that fight last week. I've been impressed with the balance of physicality, trying to change the energy in a period, and their ability to provide some offense. Again, it is what it is, but I like this fourth line better than the fourth line I saw last year.
Yeah, because I think, I'm trying to remember the fourth line last year. I think it was a bit of a toss-up all the time.
You'd see the two-twos, you'd see
Desjardins, who had a rough year.
Yep, yeah. And obviously you would see centerman traded, penalty kill.
Yeah, Kruger, Mr. Kruger, sorry, Marcus.
Kruger,
yeah.
Sorry. Boy, how quickly you begin to forget guys that have a key
component.
This is how
much of a shuffle we've had over these rosters. You just all blend together.
Yeah, but I mean, so far, you know, I again, this team is not deep centerman down from Taves, so that is a problem, and that translates in the faceoff circle. But fourth line wise, I kind of like this group.
No, I do too. Like you said, you know, they've had their options on the ice in terms of there's been scoring opportunities. I am curious. I like the hits Hayden has had. And he's a kid. He kind of reminds me of Hartman before Hartman really kind of exploded up here last year. You know, he's got that physical game and everything like that. And then Hartman kind of laid off the fights and everything because the skill came through. Can that happen the same for a fourth line guy? I don't know. I wish we'd see a little bit more of the skill. I understand the fights to a point. I think you just got to be careful. And you could tell he was upset at the injury that Marcus Foligno suffered in that fight, a facial fracture. I realize it's part of the game. And you know, like you said, the team, you know, when players are asked afterwards, like, yeah, it pumps us up and everything. It's never going to completely go away. But I also want to see that skill that Hayden gets. We saw it in the training camp.
Right.
And it is there. I realize on a fourth line that you're only going to get so many options at that. But I hope he doesn't completely have one part of that game disappear to save another part.
All right. As we wrap up this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast with Tracy Myers, I'm Pat Boyle. A little bit of a scoop for you, Trey.
Oh, no.
I'm hearing that there is a good possibility that Wednesday night in St. Louis and Thursday night on the West Side, that one Eddie Olczyk may return to the broadcast booth as he continues his battle.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome. It was great to see him last weekend, and you could tell that he was just so happy to be there. Any day of normalcy that he gets in battling this is a wonderful thing, and if people were so excited to see him just in snippets on the air last week, they're going to be over the moon to see him on a broadcast again. That is wonderful news.
So we'll see what happens, but that is some of the rumors we're hearing. We certainly hope that it works out. You know, this won't be a permanent thing. This works out where, you know, Edzo had his third round of chemotherapy last Monday, so he's like a week and a half out from it. Mm-hmm. Body's okay. Short trip to St. Louis. Come back home for the game Thursday. So, again, we're hoping, we're crossing our fingers. But that's the little scoopage rumor that we're hearing. So that could be a nice little bright spot to Wednesday and Thursday night.
Totally. Yeah, that would be absolutely wonderful to see. So fingers crossed that it absolutely happens.
All right, so Wednesday night's game, NBCSN, again, pre and post game on NBC Sports Chicago. And then the following night, it's a WGN game. Same drill, you know where to come, NBC Sports Chicago. And then on Saturday night, back on the Blowtorch, NBC Sports Chicago, we will have that contest for you on Saturday night. So that'll do it for this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. For Tracy Myers, I'm Pat Boyle. Thank you, as always, for listening, and go Hawks.